So I want to give you a quick update. Wendy is doing much better. Appreciate everybody's prayer. I can tell you that when she came out of surgery, she was miserable. She was in way worse condition than she was when she went in before the surgery. And we sent out the message for people to pray because she was in pain. And I can tell you, the Lord answered that prayer. Because by evening, she was doing much better and was back into a place similar to before the surgery. So I thank you, everyone, for your prayers, and she does as well. We thank you for your kindness and your generosity to our family in this time of need. So we thank you for that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you should be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never see my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Now today, we're gonna very briefly touch on this passage, but next week we're going to do a deep dive into it. I'm going to make some changes today from my full message. Oh, no, boo, oh, sad. That's what you're supposed to say. You missed your cue. So, can you imagine what it would be like? Imagine this scenario. That this is for all of the parents, and it's even for you as kids, if you don't have kids of your own, but you can imagine just the flip side of this, that you have told your child to do something. Doesn't really matter what it is that you've told them to do. You said, go make your room, go clean up your room, or go take out the trash. Go do the dishes, go mow the lawn, something that you've asked them to do. You've told them, this is what I want you to do. And you come back in 5, 10, 15 minutes later, and they're still on the couch doing exactly what they were doing. They're on their phone texting or strolling through Instagram. They're playing a video game, they're watching TV, whatever it is. How well does that go? Especially if you say, hey, didn't you hear what I said? And their response is, yeah, I heard you. How unhinged are you as a parent in that moment? Now, I have something special to share with you. This was a gift that was given to me by some good people in our church, and I had to wear it today. because it fits so well. If I can get this last button undone here. Wooden spoon survivor. That's a perfect shirt for me, and I appreciate it. You can understand, like, that is not a scenario that ends well for any child, right? Parents do not speak to be heard. We speak to be obeyed, right? That's the whole issue there. But what I want to get into this morning, just briefly, is I want to talk to you a little bit about the word obey, because it may surprise you to find out that the word obey does not appear at all in the Hebrew Scriptures, what we refer to as the Old Testament. Did you know that? Do you even believe that when I tell you that the Old Testament does not have the word obey in it? Now, what I'm hoping as a pastor is that you're going through your internal Rolodex and you're trying to think of all these passages that I've memorized and all these verses that I've read, and surely he's wrong. Like he's talking crazy right now. I know that there's verses that talk about obeying in the Old Testament. But here's the issue. There are, in our English translations, verses that have the word obey. You will find those. But you know how much I love my words. Right, I love almost every sermon that I ever preach. At some point I say, well, in the original Hebrew, this word means, or in the original Greek, this word means, and I talk about the expanded understanding of that word. The word that is translated into English as obey a few times in the Old Testament is the word shema. And I want to share with you a few places of where Shema shows up. For instance, it's over 1,000 times in the Old Testament alone, like 1,067 or something like that, times the word Shema shows up in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. Here's a couple of them. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 10, it says that Adam heard God walking in the Garden of Eden. Now, do you know where the word Shema is in that verse? The word heard. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God. And then when he answered, I heard you, it's I Shema you in the garden. Or later on in chapter 16, verse 2, where it says that Abram listened to Sarai. Or even later in chapter 27, verse 5, where it's this famous story with Rebekah, and we know that she's eavesdropping on this conversation between Isaac and Esau about his birthright. And when she listened in, when she was listening, that word, guess what it is? Shema. She Shema as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 and even through 9. That's the passage that's on our graduate coins. And it's called, literally, it's referred to as the Shema. And the reason why is because this is how it starts. It starts with the word, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Shema, O Israel. So are you getting the picture? Out of these over 1,000 times where the word Shema shows up, there's even this interesting one in Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, where there's two different times. It says, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not Shema his father and mother, and will not Shema to them when they discipline him. And then it gives how you're supposed to react to that. One time it translates it as obey. One time it translates it as listen. Well, why? The reason why is translation is not a super cut and dry process. And for Hebrew, the word Shema means to hear, to listen, to give attention, to understand, to submit, and sometimes it does mean to obey. But what's necessary to understand is that for Hebrew people, there is a correlation between hearing and obeying. They're not the same thing. I mean, they are very much connected. Let me get back to my notes here so I can stay on track. It's just like with parents, when we're talking about parents, why do we parents speak? To be heard? No, they speak in order to be obeyed. And so this word, Shema, it isn't just a matter of just listening. We can listen, like for us as Westerners, we think about listening as a passive event. It is when sound waves pass into our ears and there's a response and we understand the sounds that were made. But for Easterners, for people who grew up as a Hebrew, it is an active response to listen. And this is where our connection comes with our passage. I've got this video that I want you to see. It came through my social feed earlier this week, and I thought, man, this fits right in with what we've been talking about. Because the word Shema is translated into obey in English because for the Hebrew people, there is this correlation between hearing and obeying. To know God and to hear His voice, it is expected that we are going to do what we hear Him say. A person who would hear His voice has to have this willingness to yoke themselves to the will and to the word of God. As parents, we understand this concept naturally. We operate intuitively with this understanding. We want, we expect our children to do what we say, right? And we want them to respond to our words, not just listen to them. And so, watch this video, and this lady, she explains this concept very well, I think.
When my children were little, I was a huge proponent of first-time obedience. It was not an option, mm-hmm. right? And so a lot of people thought I was being tyrannical, and I really wasn't. It could have saved my child's life. You have to think about a five-year-old with a ball, mm-hmm. right? The five-year-old is just playing with the ball. Ball runs in the street. Five-year-old does not stop and go, oh, wait, I should look both ways to mm-hmm. see if a car is coming before proceeding into the street to get my ball. Mm-hmm. No, the child is going to dart into the street. It is imperative that this child listen to me the first time. Mm-hmm. Fast forwarding, it's because I need my children to listen to God the first time. Mm-hmm. I do not need them to go into the Word of God and say, oh, well, God didn't say 47 times not to have sex before marriage, mm-hmm. so I guess I can. Mm-hmm. No, God spoke once. And so as parents, when in that cop stage, that's where those boundaries come in so that your child understands he will listen to your voice the first time because it's audible. Mm-hmm. And then he will learn to listen to God the first time. But when my children were little, I was a huge proponent. When my children...
So that's a pretty good way of saying the importance of having our children learn how to respond to what we say. It's for our kids to merely hear our instruction isn't enough, is it? We don't want them to merely hear us. We need them to do what we say, not just hear. And that's what was expected with the Hebrew. In their concept, to hear and not obey didn't make any sense. It was just understood, it was expected that if you hear, you're supposed to follow through. We have this reasonable expectation that when our kids hear us, they will obey, that our words are not empty of expectation. As parents, we don't speak to be heard, we speak to be obeyed. So does the Lord. He does not bless us with His divine words for us to say, yeah, I heard you. Yeah, I read it. And then just keep on doing what we were already doing. He speaks so that we will respond. So understand now this concept of Shema. That hearing is not just listening, it is doing what you've heard. And understanding that, how does that color your understanding of these next New Testament verses? I'm going to read a couple, three different verses for you, and I want to see if they hit any differently with this expanded understanding of what Shema, of what hearing meant to Old Testament believers growing up in the New Testament church. How do you think they would have understood these verses? Because I think that it may color these verses a little differently than how you have normally understood them. First is Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When you think about Shema, how do you think that people that understood the concept of Shema understood that passage? Or Mark 4, 23, which says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Now this is written in the Greek. It's not in Hebrew. It's not the word Shema. But if you were a Hebrew Christian who grew up with this concept of Shema, and you heard these words preached to you, how would you think that you would understand it? Do you think that they understood it the same way that you have always understood it? Or James 1, 22, which says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. When you look at all these verses like this through the eyes of a Hebrew believer, does the meaning change at all for you? I think it's very possible that the reason James included this section in his letter is because he was writing to Gentile believers and he wanted them to understand what hearing meant to the culture that he grew up in. That being a part of the family of God isn't just a matter of hearing the message. God expects us to do it as well. He doesn't speak to be heard. He speaks to be obeyed. And anyone who hears the message of the gospel but doesn't shema the message of the gospel is in danger. And this is where we come to our connection with our Hebrews 4 passage. We're going to dive deep into the whole chapter next week, but for now I just want to zero in on what the wilderness generation, on why they failed to enter the promised rest of God. And it's in chapter 4, verse 2. The message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. What do you think is the word both times? It's Shema. According to that abbreviated telling of the story, did hearing benefit anyone? No. Merely hearing the message was of no value. None. Some of the Israelites obeyed. Some of them just heard. And that was the line in the sand that the Lord drew. That was the deciding factor for him, for who was allowed to enter into the Lord's rest and who wasn't. One group only heard. One group obeyed. Hebrews is a New Testament book written to New Testament Christians. They are being told that the faith that saves is the one that includes obedience. That the message of salvation had no value for those who didn't heed the warning. Their faith was not the same as those who obeyed. They all had faith, right? Let's make sure that we're clear about that. All of the Israelites had faith, but they didn't all share the same faith. Only one of the faiths had the power to save. Good news is useless to anyone who doesn't follow it. Hearing it doesn't do anyone any good. It is an empty, useless faith. There must be follow-through, belief, obedience to show that the faith is valid and true. That is the faith that saves. Hebrews 4, in a large part, is a challenge to New Testament Christians to not only hear the message of the gospel, but to do what the Lord says. So where is your heart in this? Are you content to just hear the word of God preached each week, to read the words of in your Bible each day? Do you think there's any value in that? Or more importantly, do you think the Lord considers there to be value in that? Where is your heart this morning? Are you willing to submit to the Lord? To obey? Have you taken His yoke upon yourself, showing yourself to have truly understood His message of salvation? Does your life reflect an attitude of Shema? Are you embracing what the Lord speaks into your life? Are you yielding to His way in all matters of life? Or are you hoping that merely knowing, understanding, hearing the gospel will be enough to get you into the Lord's rest? Does your life reflect the attitude of Shema? That's my question for you today. I want to end this morning with these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as they did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees He has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. My encouragement to you this morning, people of Grace Community Church, Shema, the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we repent. We repent for all of the different ways in which we hold on to control in our life and we do things our way. You have shown us Your way, Lord. You've made it very clear to us. We have no excuse, really, for the way and the reasons that we abandon the path that You've laid out for us. And we are so grateful, Father, that You are kind and so generous with Your grace towards us. And we ask, Father, this morning in Your eternal kindness that You would pour out Your grace with abundance upon us. For without it, we are lost. And we ask, Father, that You would guide and direct our steps. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to You in every way possible. Help us to color our speech with Your words. Help us to love others with the way that You love them. Help us to be gracious the way that You are gracious and to forgive the way that You forgive. And Father, we ask that You would give us this rest that You have promised to us. We look forward to spending eternity with You there. We thank You for Your Son who made it all possible, and it is in His name that we pray. Amen.